All right. If you got your Bibles, get them out. You're going to want to see this for yourself. You know, it's really nice to hear things, but when you get to see it, it makes a big difference. And if you write it down yourself, it really sticks even longer and better. So I'm going to start today with a verse that Pastor Trey taught on Sunday. Now, he just kind of said the verse, you know, and he focused on a portion of this verse and had a great message. But the second part of this verse really hit me hard. And it hit me hard because I've noticed a perspective in people that we try to do instead of be. Does that make sense? We think that there's something wrong with us, so we have to be fixed or better somehow. And I see how that hurts people because it's not true. So let's just start then, shall we? Instead of me trying to explain too much. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the revelation that is in the Bible, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the hearts and the minds that are open to receive, Father, what you have for us today. Lord, I ask that you be glorified and you be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the scripture that Pastor Trey was talking about was he was talking about the names of God. You guys remember that on Sunday? Anybody that was here? And so he used God Almighty. Almighty God in Genesis 17:1. Let's put that up on the screen. And he's talking about the name of the Lord and how the Lord presented himself to Abram. And when he told Abram who he was, Abram finally believed God when he changed his name. And at that time, when he understood he had a new name, then 3 months later, his wife Sarah, who's real close to 100 years old, is pregnant. Right? That's hard to believe. For how many women are pushing up past 70? How many of you would like to have a brand new baby? That is not a blessing to some of us, right? It is not. I can understand why she laughed when she heard that. But here's the thing that I want you guys to see. See, Abram was always already seen a certain way by God. So that means he actually was the way that God said he was. But he didn't see himself that way because he's looking at his worldly and earthly circumstances to determine to him who he was and what's the truth about him. Yes or no? What does he say? Let me read this verse. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. So he's telling Abram that this is who I am. You walk before me. In other words, present yourself to me. And he says this, before me and what? Be blameless. That's the part that came ripping off of the screen at me on Sunday morning. Why do you think that would be? Because here's what happens. We think that we need to change our conduct before God in order to be blameless in His sight. Something inside of us just wants to condemn us and make us guilty and make us flawed. And it's just in us, this condemnation, this not standing perfect before God is like resident inside of us. And just as much as Abram had to hear that his name was now changed so that he can see himself differently, be blameless in my sight doesn't say change the way you behave. It says when you come before me, you are blameless. Let that sink in. You need to really let that sink in. When you stand before God, He finds no fault in you. I know it's a hallelujah, but let it sink in again, because that may be the truth, but people's hearts are going tilt, 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 tilt inside. Why? Because we can't accept that we are that way before God, because we see ourselves as flawed. Yes or no? Let me just read this to you. The definition for blameless. Let me read it to you in the King James. It's going to be even better in the King James. It changes the word from blameless to a different word. Old King Jimmy says it differently. He says it this way: and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. How exciting is that? Be perfect. He's not saying, I want you to now act perfect in my sight. He's saying, I have made you perfect. You're perfect. Let that sink in. We got a long ways to go still. Our hearts need to believe something about ourselves that the world will never tell you is true. Your relationships won't tell you it's true. Your experiences won't tell you it's true. Your teachers in most schools won't tell you that that's true. Your example of it is not visible in this natural world, the way this world is. So we have to believe God, that He made us perfect in His sight and blameless in His sight, so that when we stand before Him, which is right this second, that's exactly who we are. But since we don't necessarily believe it, we're going to respond, react, and act out according to what we do believe is true about us. Really. And if this condemnation and this shame really does dwell in our hearts, making us flawed, especially damaged, then we're going to respond out of that. And we're going to seek some kind of peace in the world, because we can't stand the fact that we're flawed. We can't stand the fact that we're embarrassed. We can't stand the thought that we're guilty in somebody's eyes somewhere. And so what happens is we take a downhill spiral and we start looking for things. We start escaping into alcohol, into drugs, into sex, into anger, into pushing people away and loving animals more than people. All these kinds of things start happening in our hearts because we can't accept who we are. Let me just look at some more verses. This is really good news, you guys. It really is. So really take some time to think about this. In fact, say this. Now, if the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or your skin starts to crawl, or you start waiting for lightning to strike if you say it, I want to let you know. Say it anyway. Get used to it. Okay? First of all, see yourself standing before the Lord and look Him right in the eyes and say, I am perfect in your sight. I am perfect in your sight. I am blameless in your sight. You made me that way. You made me that way. Amen? We got to get used to it. We've got so much stimulation coming from so many other areas that it's really a wrestling match to own our identity. All right, this word blameless or perfect, it is complete, whole, entire, and sound. Sound, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity, complete, healthful. All these are the words that this word's being translated as. Man, that you're absolutely complete in him. So let's look at some verses. Go with me to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 22. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Colossians 1, verse 22. And it says, I should probably start from 19. Go up to 19, please. For if it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that's in Christ Jesus, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, how? Holy and blameless and above reproach, where? In his sight. In his sight. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. You see, people judge one another. People measure each other. And we say, well, I'm not as bad as he is. Or, oh man, I am so messed up inside. I am jacked up. I gotta tell you, I have some issues. And you know what? Yeah, you all might say, I know, brother, I see it, but we love you anyway. We just do that to each other, don't we? And the thing is, we are not seeing each other the way God sees us. Therefore, we're not treating each other the way God treats us. Therefore, we are not exhibiting the life of Christ when we relate to one another on that carnal level. So here's the issue. We can say in our heart that Jesus loves me. We can say in our hearts that I'm born again. We can say in our hearts that my sins are forgiven. Yes? That doesn't mean that's the way you talk to yourself on the inside. Doesn't mean that's the way you live. Doesn't mean that's the way you actually see yourself. Right? We need to actually see ourselves with no flaws, perfect in his sight. All right, I wasn't good. Thank you, Lord, I'll do it. So, always on the edge. Thank you, Lord. I was praying, I wanted to meet the Lord face to face, and I had a wonderful experience where he brought me up into heaven, and I got to stand before him. And I was bawling my eyes out because of his glory and the love of God. And in this testimony, this love of God was just flowing out of him and was just flowing through me. And I just couldn't bear it so much because he was so holy. I needed to bow down like everybody else who was laying on their face before him. And when I did, the whole thing just left me and I was back here. And I said, what have I done? And I instantly stood right back up again and raised my hands. And I was back in that environment again in front of the Lord in heaven with all these people worshiping him. And the love had changed that was ushering out in these waves from him to acceptance. And this really caught me off guard because I never really understood how to be accepted. How to really be okay with who I am. God accepts me unconditionally. I mean, he absolutely wants us. He finds us valuable, and he wants us with him, and he just loves us and accepts us the way we are. And it blew my mind because I had never felt that before. All the people that I have met have these conditions that I feel like I need to meet. I need to be smart enough, good enough, quiet enough, which I always failed at that part. I just had to have all these things, you know, that I had to be around them. So therefore, I had to believe, I was believing one thing about myself on the inside, but showing people an entirely different Robert on the outside, the one that I thought they could approve of. And I never realized that by doing that, I was literally robbing myself of my true identity, of my individual identity that God gave to me, okay? Because of the way that I was raised. So when we get born again, when we come into fellowship with the Holy Spirit, this is where the renewing of our mind has to take place, that we start believing God over what we've been telling ourselves and what the world's been telling us. Are you with me? Let's look at some other verses. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4, and I'm only going to read verse 3 because I love it so much. It has nothing to do with my point at all, but I just love the verse, so I'm going to read it. Are you guys here? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Wait a second. It says that he chose us in Christ before he even created this world. So, he chose me. God chose me. God chose you specifically before the foundations of the world. Let that sink in. God literally chose you that you would be here on this world living life with the rest of us on purpose. That puts a little monkey wrench in a lot of people's thinking about I was a mistake or I have no value or I can't do anything right. That sure puts a big old monkey wrench in all of that. If before the foundations of the world, he decided he wanted you here. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Not that we should act holy and be without blame, but that we would be holy and without blame before him. So when we get in front of God, to him, we're holy and blameless. Do you know the word holy for Holy Spirit? Is this word holy? So he makes you just as holy as the Holy Spirit. You know what else is a wonderful world? Wonderful word? The word saint. When he calls you a saint, it's the same word, hagios. It's the same word for Holy Spirit. Exact same word. There's no difference. It's either holy or saint. That's the only way it's interpreted. This is how God sees us. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I just want you to look at these verses with me so that you can see it in your Bible if you have your Bible with you. If not, I would encourage you to get a Bible or get your Bible and write this in it and memorize this verse here. And I don't mean you got to sit there and go da 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 and get it. Read it, absorb it, let it sink into you. Understand what you're reading. Let it become a part of who you are. Now may the God of peace himself. Stop. All right, is this talking about something you need to do? Who's going to be doing this? God himself. All right? Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, how? Blameless at what? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying here in Thessalonians that God himself cleans you up and makes you completely complete in his sight, spirit, soul, and body. Is there any more of you than that? That includes all of you, right? So the totality of who you are as a person, God himself sanctifies you, makes you clean, makes you innocent, makes you holy. Are you with me? So, how do we let that sink in and really get it to be a part of how we live our real life? Because I'll tell you, when we don't know this and we don't believe this, the world has a way of applying such pressure to us. People have a way of damaging us, the way they interact with us. And all this stuff starts happening around us that seems to be out of control, makes us resort to thinking evil about ourselves. So we need something that will help us to override that entire situation. How can we do that? I'm glad nobody responded. I'll tell you. Turn in your Bibles with me. So, Father, where do you want me to go? John chapter 14. It says that he's going to make us blameless, sanctify us at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people say that's at the end of the age. That's at the end of the age. That's when Jesus is going to crack open the heavens, and those of us that are on the earth will see him as he is and be changed into his image, because we'll see him as he is, like it says in 1 John chapter 3. And that's probably true. But what about the rest of us that aren't here when that happens? Do we not get sanctified? Are we not blameless in his sight? Are we not made holy? Is it only when he returns, however that's going to be, on a cloud or in the clouds? Mm-mm. Let's look at some things. So, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at that point when he's going to return. But it's more than that. It's when he comes to you personally. It's at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody has the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of it means when he's revealed at the end times. Some of it does mean that. But some of it means when he's revealed to you personally right now. Because he is our life. He is our life. It says in John here, it says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through him. And each one of us, the Father has to be the one that draws us to himself, so that we can have that life of God in us. Are you with me still? So, how many of you have been drawn by the Lord? You feel like God's called you, and then you've been born again or been made brand new, clean before him, so that you can walk as a spiritual being on the earth, right? What's the difference between a Christian and anybody else on the planet? The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them, but you do. That's at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Spirit of God dwells in you. So let's look at some of these verses. Come with me to verse 20, John 14, 20. I don't know why, I just feel like dancing and singing right now. Dance and sing. I would like you all to stay in the room. I know where my giftings are. That's not where they lie. Although I did dance for many years, I don't any longer. Okay, verse 20 of John 14. It says, and at that day, let me start in 19. Sorry, Mary. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and what? Manifest myself to him. So Jesus gives us this promise that he will manifest himself to us. How many of you experienced the Lord on some level? Amen. He will not withhold himself from us. If we pursue him, he will manifest himself to us in so many different ways and forms. So it says here in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's pretty exciting stuff. Wait a minute, that's pretty exciting stuff. So God is saying that he's going to come and live inside of me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are going to make their home in me. I'm going to be their dwelling place. You're going to be their dwelling place. Let's just say it this way. You are their dwelling place. You are already God's dwelling place. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, who? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you what? All things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your what? Your heart be what? Neither let it be afraid. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we, with the Spirit of God together, through a direct relationship with God, walk in peace. Right? Isn't that a fruit of the Holy Spirit? And we need to not be afraid and not be troubled. Right? That means we've got to take these things to God before they become a big issue. When these things are happening, we need to go right to God, and we need to deal with it with him. Are you with me? We'll see. We'll see. Bless the Lord. Okay. Next step. How many of you got Jesus in you? So are you blameless in his sight? Are you innocent? Are you pure? Are you holy? Are you favored? Are you loved? Are you accepted? Are you complete? Let that sink in. Colossians chapter 2 says that, let's just go there. Colossians chapter 2. Verse Let's just go there. It's easier. Verse 9 and 10. For in him dwells, who? In Jesus. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's he saying there? That every bit of God is in Jesus. Yes? Bodily, in his physical body, the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus bodily, and we are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power, who dwells in you, right? Who's made his home in you, right? Therefore, he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid, right? The peace of God. What's the peace of God? Peace means that if you and I are squabbling and there's division between us, and I'm angry with you and so you're afraid of me, then we have issues, right? You don't want to be around me anymore. You want to do other things. And every time you think of me, you go, and you try not to think of me and go do other things. Yes or no? But if you and I sit down and work out our differences, whatever they are, and we make it right between us, then our relationship is restored. Yes? And then everything's made right again. Yes? And then when you think of me now, do you still get the heebie-jeebies? No. Do you get fear? No. Why? Because everything's right between us. Yes or no? Yes. So when we are out in our lives believing God for things, if we get too far away from that relationship with him and that intimacy with him, we start thinking somehow it just happens that we're standing alone. And what has happened is our attention has fallen from being on God to being on ourself. That's the sin of Adam. His attention went from being on God and just living, just being alive, to falling on himself. It's some of the worst things we can do is to be judging ourselves all the time. How am I doing? Am I making it? Am I missing it? Am I doing okay? Am I not doing okay? There's a time for that, but it's not the way we're supposed to live all the time looking at ourselves. That self-absorption, there's things we say about people that check themselves out in the mirror all the time or that are completely bound in how other people see them, right? That's the person that's not spending time focusing on God and letting him talk to us and reassure us on who we are. We need him to talk to us so that we can be transformed. We need the Bible because this is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. This is what leads me in the way. But it's leading me in the way to him, to be with him, to be able to identify with him, not this only and not him. It's him and this agree together as one. Yes or no? So to be able to be like him, we need to be around him. And that means that we need to fellowship with him. Where's he at? He's in me. He's in you. So when we go looking for God, where do we go? We go to our quiet place. Because he's always in us, but he's a still, calm, very peaceful person who doesn't get his feathers ruffled. There's no emergencies for him. He's at complete peace. The reason he is because he's everywhere, always, at the same time. Are you with me? And he's in you and in me. So God is in us, constantly working through us, transforming us to be more like himself, so that he's made us innocent, he's made us blameless, he's made us perfect, he's made us holy, he's sanctified us, but we need to renew our minds so that when we start talking and on the inside, we see ourselves the way God sees us. How many of you see yourself perfectly the way God sees you? We all got some work to do. Yes or no? He's faithful. He's really faithful. And it's really important that we say what he says. It's really important because you're going to believe you. And it might creep out. Oh, let me say it this way. How many of you have positive confessions or affirmations, or you make declarations? A few of you do. Okay? Let me ask you this. Okay, here we go. How many of you say them because it's the truth that you live? How many, don't raise your hands on these, please. And how many of you say them because it's true, but you don't believe it yet? Again, let's go back to this. We are, this is a fact, blameless. Ain't nobody can point the finger at you and say there's anything wrong with you as far as God's concerned. Yes or no? It's Jesus who died. Nobody has a right to judge you. Absolutely nobody has a right to determine your value. Nobody does. We're all going to stand before the Lord independent of everybody else. Yes or no? So therefore, it's up to us to understand who we really are, not up to anybody else, for us to understand who we really are. And we need to have a relationship with God so he actually talks to you, so you can actually be with him, so that he can tell you the truth, so that you can be transformed from your inner person. It's the inner person is the only person God's working with. The flesh profits nothing, it says. It says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. It just can't do it. It's not like that. It's the invisible person on the inside of you, the one that you're talking to and talking with. That's the person that has to know they're completely holy, they're completely blameless, and they're just like Jesus. That's where the serious work of Christianity has to step in individuals. When you can see that and really start owning that, there is a joy that starts bubbling up on the inside of you. There is a boldness that starts happening when you're in front of people, because there's no shame or condemnation. There's no judgment. So you can just flow as the Holy Spirit's giving you utterance, and you can just be alive in that moment, and you can just let the fullness of God just to flow through you and shine out of you in revelation, in love, in compassion for other people, in words of knowledge to see who they are, to set them free. All these wonderful gifts of God that have been given to us that we can just start demonstrating, because there's no condemnation blocking it. Are you with me still? So that's why we need to sing to the Lord. We need to make a melody in our heart to God, being thankful that these things are true, being thankful that it's true. And as we worship him and give him thanks for what he's done for us, what happens is it starts sinking in. It stops being just a song to God, and it starts being you revealing the truth back to him. And you start owning it, and it starts washing you, and it starts cleansing you from the inside, and you're being transformed moment by moment as this truth is sinking in. Because again, it's not what happened to you that broke you. It's what you say in your heart. That's the whole thing, is what you say about you determines how you manifest and the way your life is going to go. And we can't just arbitrarily make some affirmation or some declaration and just say it like a parrot, thinking it's going to do something. It's got to come from your core. It's got to be what God says, and you're believing it. And then what you're doing when you're making your declarations or your decrees or your blessings or you're saying what God says, now you're just reciting the truth. That's all you're doing, is reciting the truth. The thing is, we don't walk by sight. We walk by the Spirit. We walk by what's true, not by what we see. Because when you walk by what's true, what you see will change. Because you're going to bring the difference. You're going to affect the environment. You're going to affect the condition of other people's lives. You're the catalyst. You're the change. You're the one that brings the life. Because you see yourself the way God sees you. You see the truth about yourself. But if you can't own that, what happens is you're in a tussle back and forth, where part of the times we're moving forward and part of the times we're moving back. That's why forgiveness is so important. It's just so, so important. Not only that we forgive other people, but that we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves for, one, what we participated in that bothers us still. And two, we forgive ourselves for seeing ourselves in a light that is not the light of God. We need to see ourselves in the light of God, in His eyes. Are you with me? How exciting is this? Oh yeah, I wish I had a video camera. They would not think I'm doing well who are watching the movie from looking at your faces. It's hard, I'm telling you. It's to get this stuff in, it's not a hoopla message. It is a hoopla message, but it's only a hoopla message if you've already stepped across the line, which some of you really have, and others of us, sometimes we do, and then sometimes we forget. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we forget. So let's push it even further then. Let's push it even further. If God's working in you, and he's made his home in you, and he's manifested himself to you, then you should be the one who's Jesus on the earth. It should be you. Should be you. So if it should be you, then this is where we need to take this a sober assessment. What am I saying to myself that's contrary to me being able to walk that out? How do I label myself? How do I see myself that doesn't let me be that? What is it I say that blocks that? Do I say that I don't got the power? Do I say that somebody else is more anointed than I am? Do I say, well, God hasn't called me to do that? What do I say to myself? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Do I say that I've got no power? Is that what I say to myself when he says he's given it to me? What blocks you from fully shining? I tell you, I take that assessment myself. I do. And I start going, wow, Lord. And I get in his presence and I go, I don't know what happened, but this started creeping in on me. And I started seeing myself this way. And I started getting these feelings. And I started just agreeing with it. And next thing I know, I'm kind of like over here now. Help me clean up this mess, please. And I need to lay it down. Come to him, you who are burdened and heavy laden. He'll give us the rest. And I put it at his feet again. And pretty soon I spent some time in him, worshiping him and telling him who he is and how thankful I am. Next thing I know, I'm built back up again. And I'm good. I'm good. And then I can start being here for the rest of y'all. Yeah? Yeah. So let me ask you this. Who of you who have the Spirit of God in you does not feel powerful? Nobody raises their hands? You haven't got the guts, or you just, it's true, you don't. You do feel powerful. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't feel like I got the Spirit of God in me. Sometimes I don't feel like God's with me. Sometimes I feel absolutely alone. Sometimes I feel like I'm a big, like, am I even saved at all, Lord? But I want to let you know something. My feelings have nothing to do with the truth. All they're telling me is how I feel. They're not telling me the truth. They're just telling me where my attention is at right now. So that gives me the opportunity to relocate my attention to a different place. Change the channel. Sometimes it's hard to change the channel. I'm invested in that channel over there. I've spent time on that channel. You know what? I've got history with that channel. Nope, change it. It's not who you are. But you don't understand. Yes, change it. Get it off. Stop it right now. Just stop. Well, I'll tell you, I ministered a lot of people, and some people have a really hard time just stop and change the channel. Just stop it. Stop thinking that way and think this way. That means you've got to have your ducks in a row. What I mean by ducks in a row, I mean you got to have your scriptures. You got to have your promises, the things that you know are true, but that you've got a propensity for falling short in these areas. And so there's where you need to grab these things, and they shore you up in those areas till those areas get a little stronger. And when those areas get a little stronger, then you won't have to believe those scriptures so much. Not that you don't believe them. You won't need them to stabilize you so much, because you'll be owning it instead. Right? So one thing that helps me a lot, and it probably helps you guys too, is when I worship the Lord. How many of you feel, seem or realize more of who you are in the Spirit when you're worshiping the Lord? Me too. When you really are worshiping, not just trying to worship, when you actually have crossed over into, you're really sharing yourself with God. You're really being in fellowship with him. Man, when I do that, it's like the weights come off, and it's like the doors open to heaven, to the fellowship of God, and it's like, wow. Another doorway that opens up heaven for us is when we pray. How many of you, when you get into your prayer time and you really get focused and you really get your attention really set on God, does it like, wow, the presence of God just whooshes you, you know? It's like all the world disappears and fades away, and wow, God is just so much more when you really connect in prayer. Yeah? How about another door that opens for the kingdom of God is when you start telling God,